So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it some day for a crown. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you. We rejoice, dear God, to be called your children. We rejoice to have this opportunity as your children, as your people in this world, dear God, to walk with you each and every day and to experience your grace, your loving hand, your guiding, your wisdom, all things that you've provided for us in such abundance through Christ our Lord and Savior. Father, we ask that you bless this time, bless each one that hears your word this morning, that the Spirit would apply a portion of the word, Lord, to each of our hearts, that we would be blessed, we would be built up, and that each one would come away with another building block of faith, an encouragement in their faith to walk with you with a vision and with an intent for each day that you set before us. Father, bless this time as only you can. We're so very, very grateful for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we're coming down off of, if you would, several weeks of going through the first 12 chapters of the book of Revelation and reading of the urgency and the message of the times that lie somewhere in the future. Some are present in the letters to the churches, but some are yet future, that this world is going to endure. If we believe the word of God, if we believe the book of Revelation, if we have any level of belief in what the Lord says is going to take place, what we studied, this world will not continue as it is. It is drawing to a close. We do not know when. But every day, the reality of that is intended to help us focus on those things that are most important. There's lots of things that are important to us. There are lots of things that we give our hearts to, our time to. But there should be a primary. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the very first word is love. Love not this world. But the word love is the word, it's related to the word agape. But it comes from a word, it could come from a word which means much. Much. Now, you know, I like cherry pie, DJ. But it's not the top priority in my life, in my loves, my love list, if you would. So, but it's up there. It's far enough up there that I eat it. But there's lots of things that we enjoy, lots of things that we like, lots of things that we love. We use that word love kind of loosely, but this word here is not a loosely used word. There are many people from 1 John chapter 5, we won't spend any time there much, but we read that for God is love. And the world would take that and say, well, any kind of love for anything, there's the presence of God in that love. And so love is God. No, God is love. There are those that worship love as the emotion, as if it's something that should be served, and you know, as long as there is love, it's okay because it's good and it's of God. As long as it's love. No, that is exactly not the truth. God is the perfect manifestation of what love is and what love does and what love teaches. So John here in this 15th verse is, love not the world. Do not put much love for the things of this world. Again, there are many things in this world that we enjoy, that we'd like a lot. You know, we love a good dinner. We love time with family and friends. We love the weather. Oh, the weather's been great. You know, we just love the weather. We use that word loosely again. But this is really speaking about what we love with the highest priority and the greatest amount of dedication. And that's that is the challenge, that is the question that is set before us as Christians. If we turn to the Gospel of John, you probably know where I'm going with this, but the Lord was walking, the resurrected Christ was walking with Peter and John, starting with verse 15 in John 21:15. And we don't need to read all this, but just to remind you that, so when they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And it's really at the heart of the question. Jesus asked him that question. He said, "Well, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And he saith unto him, "Then feed my lambs." And then later again, he asked him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." And then he said yet to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Manifest that love, is what Jesus was saying. Manifest that love in doing that which I've called you to do. And give yourself to do that. Give yourself to be a shepherd, a lover of Jesus' sheep, his flock. But he drove the point home because what Jesus was pressing, in other words, Peter, do you love me more than these? If you love me more than these, then you are qualified to go back and attend to their needs and feed them, to guide them, to lead them. But our love toward God must be above all things. And that's the challenge that we face as we turn back to our text in 1 John 2:15, where John says, love not the world. Do not make the things of this world of highest or much priority, or the most highest priority. Looking at verse 18 of this chapter, John says, little children, it is the last time. We read this as we were entering into our study in Revelation. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So this time that we've spoken of from the book of Revelation, we are in that time frame. We are in that, within the if you would, the parameters of the end time officially. Now is the time, more than ever, to prioritize our lives as the children of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 John writes, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But now, beloved, now are we the sons of God." And the word sons, I don't want to have a lot of discussion on that. It can mean children, but it also means mature children. John uses both of the words, verse 18, he calls them little children. Chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it's the last time. But there's this constant reference to the fact that we are the offspring, the children of God, the sons of God. As Paul mentions in Romans, you're children of God and sons of God if you're led of the Holy Spirit. There is a maturing process that every Christian is to go through, needs to go through. Just like every human being in a natural body goes through a maturing process, so too we are called to mature spiritually. We feed on the basics. We feed on the simple things, the pure milk of the word, as Peter writes. But the intent is that we are weaned off the milk, and then we are able to partake of the meat, the strong meat. That's in Hebrews chapter 4, I believe, or 5. And those who are able to take part in the meat of the Word of God are those that put the things of God to use in their lives. They are exercised by them. If anything's going to give you exercise, if anything is going to build you up, it's when we take the truth of the Word of God. And as the Spirit puts it on our hearts, that we put it into practice in our words, in our actions, in all of our deeds, in our ways, our thoughts, that we receive the chastening of the Lord, realizing this whole picture that these are the last days. This is the last time. These things that we've talked about in Revelation are going to happen. As we talked about in that series, is that there's so many things that, you know, 40, 50 years ago, we thought about there's no way to do that. How do you do that? Now it's commonplace knowledge. It's everybody's got a cell phone, it seems like. And so we can see things going on in the world, all over the world at the same time, as a result of one person holding up their device, and that one device can speak to the whole world at one time, basically. We didn't think that could happen 40, 50 years ago. But now, it is commonplace. So back to our text in 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Don't love it much, or most, or greater than the things of the Lord. Paul wrote to, I believe, Timothy and said, Demas, who was a trusted disciple that walked with Paul for a great deal of time, or a certain amount of time, he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Does it seem sometimes like the Lord simply is asking too much of you? Does it seem sometimes like the Lord wants you to sacrifice too much that you might follow him and walk with him? So he repeatedly, as he did with Peter, he repeatedly, a time and again, we are challenged to love Jesus more. Do I really love Jesus? Do I really love him more than these? I have a great deal of love for this assembly and those that have met here over the past 44 and a half years. But I have to love Jesus more, because it's my love of God that enables me to be a lover of his sheep, his children. Many times I've explained my work and my job as people say, well, you know, how do you do that kind of work or something like that? Or they'll say, you know, well, you know, that doesn't pay very well or whatever. I said, for me, it is a privilege to love the people that God loves. And that is the whole world. But it takes the strength of God. It takes the vision of God. It takes the enabling of God. And it takes the priorities of God to enable anyone to do that. Jesus told Peter, says, if you love me, follow me and feed my sheep. The Lord's love of the Lord demands of us, requires of us to love him more than anything else, that we might be properly suited and fitted to love those things under him. There are things I love in this world, things I enjoy in this world. We've had a little sort of music discussion in our house the last couple days. And I was determined to find, there's a person that I referred to. I couldn't remember their name. All I could remember was that they were a very popular, very talented bass guitar player. And I knew what he looked like, but I could not. I started looking through YouTube. I got caught in that loop, looking for this bass guitar player, and. You run across a lot of other people, very talented people. People you can tell just absolutely love and enjoy playing music, and they're very skilled at it. And it just reminded me how that there are so many very enjoyable things that we can do in this world. There's things like with music that absolutely I enjoy. There are things with art that I absolutely enjoy. There are things outside that I enjoy. If you could see my wonderful new tractor that is 45 years old, and I finally got it running, and then I broke it last weekend and got it fixed. I was able to go out and use it yesterday, and it was just a joy to be able to do that, to get some work done and been meaning to get done for a long time. But I didn't have the equipment, and the equipment I had wouldn't start, wouldn't run, wouldn't function right. But I enjoyed that. But would I trade that for my relationship? Would I give up a relationship with the Lord or a walk with God or the service toward God so I can stay home and play with my tractor? No. I tried that when I retired, when I was off work for 8 months. And the things of the world, no matter what they are, get old, and we lose interest. But when we really love the Lord and the ways of God and the leading of God, the closer we draw to the Lord, the more that we love him. And we might get busy with other things in the world, but it's the love of the Lord that draws us back again and again and again to search out and to seek out the deeper things of God. Because that is what we are called to love the most, just like with Peter. Again, John writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I've got my stuff. I like my stuff. I know other people don't like my stuff, but that's okay. I can like it for as long as I'm alive, and then it can be thrown out or whatever. But I enjoy having bits and pieces of this and that that help me remember things throughout my life. And it's really the things throughout my life that I enjoy. It's just those things that connect you to your past and connect you to the things that you love. But they're just things in this world. And this is the last time. This is the end time. These are, even if they last for another 1,000 years, the final days of Earth. The Earth is coming to an end. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It does not say, if any man likes things in the world, then he is not saved. That is not what this says. Some would twist it to say so, but it's not what it says. If any man owns things in this world or nice things in this world, then they must not have a good relationship with God. They must love the things of the world first. That's not what this says. The intent of the meaning here is if any man love most the world, or with an extreme degree love this world, the love toward the Father that the Father would have us to have as the preeminent love, the much love, isn't there. And it's evidenced by the priorities in their life. It's evidenced by what they give their lives and their times and their thoughts and their words and their actions to. And it's true for all of us. So that's why it's a personal challenge for every one of us. It's a personal challenge to make sure that our priorities and that our hearts are chastened by the Word of God, that we might recognize more and more fully that we have a Heavenly Father who begot us through the offering of His Son for the sin of the world, who allowed His Son to be put to death, who allowed His Son to take upon Himself and become the atoning sacrifice of the world, though absolutely innocent, which is required of a sacrifice, it had to be pure, that He sent His Son, the Spirit, in the Spirit, God in the flesh, like us, yet without sin, to take your place and my place in death, that our sins might be atoned for, our penalty paid, our fines, our execution, our judgments, all carried out and completed in Him. That we might rightfully stand before God in that day with a confidence and an assurance in our hearts that we are one with God and that He is our Father. It's Father's Day. I don't usually like to talk much about that, except it's a reminder, and we have many reminders in the world today, and I'm not going to get into the social aspects, but how the lack of a father figure, a guiding force, a father's fulfilling his role as a provider and protector of the family, if that does not exist in a home, then the children are in danger. The children are in danger. and garner the feeling and the impression, as is widely popular in segments of our society, that fathers simply aren't needful, have no real value in a home. They're more like tomcats. They're for one reason only, and then move on. Nothing could be more wrong, especially in a Christian household, especially in a sound, healthy home. The role of a father is essential, even so, and all the more in a spiritual sense, to know that we have a father, a provider, one who cares, one who protects, one who provides, one who has understanding and wisdom and experience to pass along and shares it, and does so in a loving way, in a caring way, in a manner in which that a child can learn the power of love, the power of loving sacrifice, the power of loving steadfastness. Fastness, the power of redemption, and so many, many other things. We have a heavenly Father for our spirits, for our souls. And His power, His ability, His working in our lives can be evident in any life, regardless if there's a natural father involved in that life or not. The Heavenly Father, He willingly takes over. He willingly plays that role, as we read in Hebrews 2 about chastening. You know, that a natural father, an earthly father, chastens according to their will, their children, what they think is best, hopefully. And they try their best to raise up a child in the way that they should go, and that sort of thing. But the Lord does it for our eternal profit. And He knows exactly what we need and when we need it and how to best provide it. There's often, I've seen it many times, but recently I kind of know how the story goes, so I read the headline and I'm good. But it was on some money advisory program, and there was discussion about these parents, especially a father, but some parents that, when their child graduated from high school and wanted to stay at home and that sort of thing, they said, that's fine. But so that you, the child, can learn responsibility and that life is not free as it has been for the first 18, 19 years of your life, if you're going to live here, you're going to pay rent. It costs us to provide for you. And therefore, you will help bear your portion or a portion of that cost. And some people got so upset and do get upset. Well, you know, you can't do that. You know, they're just a child. No, it's time for them to grow up and realize that money just, you know, the answer to the child's problems is not found in the parent's pocket. As a church, and I'm glad we're able to do this, but we are approached by many people that do not come to church, do not attend here, that may or may not be really Christian, or at least not be walking with the Lord. You know, I don't know. But they're accustomed to approaching churches for financial help or for help in times of need, and it's usually financial. They've learned, in a sense, that the church, that the essence of the Father is found in churches, where a Father will provide, will help, will encourage, will teach. That's what we learn from our Heavenly Father, is that He will provide, and there's times He will provide simply with blessings and with, you call it, support. On whatever level. But there's also a important, there are also important things for a child to learn, even a mature child to learn, is that a father, that a father can impart, that our Heavenly Father imparts to us, is there's a time to trust through the time of trouble. There is a time when the answer is not an instant deliverance from a financial need, but there is guidance in how to resolve the problem. Because that's what maturity is like. It's a vital component of maturity is, as you grow older, learning how to solve problems with in walking with God, how God is able to solve problems in our lives and help us through times. And we can walk by faith in Him, knowing that as we press forward to solve problems, that He is at our side, He has our back. There is nothing, as the Scripture, as Paul says, there's nothing that will come our way in this life that God is not able for. And willing to do for us. And one thing He's willing to do is allow us to experience need and lack that we might better understand how important it is to have a relationship with Him and how much more important it is for us to trust Him as our Heavenly Father. Because now, as we read in chapter 3, now are we the sons of God. And I don't hesitate to use that word sons, because in the kingdom of God, there are neither male nor female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile. There's so much rabble going on about genders and that kind of thing in this world. And it is so much of it is perverse and disgusting. But it's more important for a Christian, no matter what their beliefs are, is to realize that we are children of God, and God would raise us up to be sons, mature. The focus and importance there is mature children, that we might learn His ways and not be entangled with the things of this world. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, that second verse says in chapter 3. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We have a Father in our God who realizes that the worst time in the world's history is about to come on the population of this planet. The worst thing that can ever happen on this planet is on our threshold. And it's important that we embrace that, that we know that, that we incorporate that into our daily lives. But while incorporating that, knowing that, that in our Father, we have security and safety. And He has not created us for wrath. He has not created us to go through that time. But He has saved us. He has delivered us through the blood of His Son. He sent His Son, the Father of the Son of Man, the Redeemer of the world. And that we should love Him much more, the most, above all other things, that we might be blessed, and then we might be ready and watching, that we might receive the blessings of God and the rare opportunity that we have to walk with God as the children of God now in this world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father." God does not inspire us to pursue the lusts of the flesh or the lusts of the eyes or the pride of life. This is of the world. This is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. I can tell you that after the Lord comes, there will be no desire for gold or silver or diamonds or trophies or awards. There'll be no desire for those things that many people crave. And what there's people that crave anything and everything. Collectors of this and that and pursuers of this and that. This world is caught up in the flesh will take you any direction, any direction you're willing to go. Our flesh, if it appeals to us, we can pursue it with all our heart and all our life. There are people who give their lives to pursuing. Even as I was watching last night, they've given their lives to the pursuit of making music. That there's a day coming when those lusts, those desires will pass away. Not that there won't be music in heaven, but it'll be motivated and driven, incorporated and enabled through the Spirit. Scripture talks about the mountains singing. And everything, as we read in Revelation, everything, every creature, everything has a voice. The things of this world will be brought to nothing, except for one thing. And that's the love and the relationship and the fruit that will come to bear as a result of God's children loving Him, walking with Him, and putting Him first. Everything else will fall away. Beloved, now, at this moment, we are the sons of God. At this moment. After reading what we've studied in Revelation, it's between us and God. What does that mean to me? We all have to answer that same question. What does that mean to me? If I believe even half of that, if I'm able to absorb even a part of what's coming, if I can absorb even the fact that there is a realm outside of this natural realm, a realm we call heaven, where there is a God and He is ruler and king over all, there are people that despise God because He has placed Himself above others. That is pure sin. That is pure from the heart of Lucifer, Satan, sin. That God should be such an egomaniac that He has to be placed first above all things. They do not understand the love of God because God so loved the world that He put Himself last and beneath that He might lift us up. That through the blood of Christ, we might be lifted up to be with Him in a relationship as our Heavenly Father. I'm going to have to draw this to close. But love not the world. Is passing away. Love the Father. The lusts that we have, this world, we shouldn't have a guilt complex over enjoying things in life. But neither should they be what control and rule and guide our lives in this world. That is what our Father would do for us. Let's close in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you and we praise you that your love for us, your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, your grace, all things that you are, all your attributes, dear God, thrill our soul. And if we have yet things to learn, which we all do, dear God, lead us and teach us, guide us by the Spirit in those things that are most necessary for us to know at this time, that our hearts and minds might experience your love in its fullest, deepest sense. Free us, dear God, from those things that distract us and draw us away from the things that you have for us. That your love and promises toward us, that we might see how they far outshine anything in all of creation. Father, bless this to each heart and mind here. And we give you thanks, Father, for being at our side to nurture us in things eternal. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
548:2.
In this book, number 548:2, let's stand. 548:2. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. What a joyous, peaceful stillness we have in our hearts and minds, where we can sing that song with meaning and with understanding. May God bless you. If you'd like to worship the Lord and pray, please do so. Amen.